brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur News, episode 014-529-2014. Before we go to our articles, I want to let you know on a project I've been working on. HelpCanna.org, a crowdfunding site for the cannabis, green rush, entrepreneurs, artists, and nonprofits who have a cause who need funding. Come set up a crowdfunding campaign today so we can launch this thing. And if there's anybody that wants to help me out a little bit, I'm looking for some founders. All right, let's go to the articles. Article number one, corporate cannabis, legal marijuana goes legit. Take it away.
Corporate cannabis, legal marijuana goes legit. By Robert W. Wood. Source, Forbes. Americans could learn from Canada, as the New York Times explains in When Cannabis Goes Corporate. Canada's free-for-all approach prompted complaints from police and local governments, so Canada adopted a regulated system for growth and sales. Enter Tweed Marijuana, one of the companies licensed to grow medical marijuana in Canada. The new rules allow prescription holders to buy from approved, large-scale, producers. More informal growing operations suffer. But the changes have spun an industry of more legitimate producers with bigger business models. And that should mean more sales. Canada expects to collect taxes on over $3.1 billion in annual sales. The figures stateside could be vastly better. In Washington state, where even recreational marijuana is now legal, the Liquor Control Board hired Professor Mark Kleiman of UCLA to research the state's marijuana market. He estimated Washington's medical and illicit consumption generated approximately $1.2 billion in sales annually. Colorado too voted to legalize marijuana even for recreational use. Already, Colorado gets $2 million from marijuana taxes. And while there are rules in Colorado and Washington, both states seem well on their way to regulating and profiting from the industry. Medical use is far more prevalent, now numbering 20 legal medical marijuana states and D.C. Yet in the Fed's view, regardless of state legality, marijuana is a controlled substance and illegal under federal law. As more states have clashed with federal law, this mismatch has become more contentious. The Department of Justice issued a response suggesting that it will lay off the raids and prosecutions. But the feds will lay off only if the states create a tightly regulated market with rules that address federal enforcement priorities such as preventing interstate smuggling, diversion to minors, and adverse public health consequences. Those phrases seem imbued with discretion. This memo to U.S. attorneys makes clear that the DOJ can still prosecute growers and sellers. To be sure, this is much bigger than a tax problem. And yet the tax problems of the industry are huge and are thought to be one of the industry's major impediments. Section 280E of a tax code denies even legal dispensaries tax deductions. The main culprit is Congress, not the IRS. The IRS has said it has no choice but to enforce the tax code passed by Congress. How big is the industry's problem? The federal tax situation is the biggest threat to businesses and could push the entire industry underground, the leading trade publication for the marijuana industry reported. One answer has been for dispensaries to deduct expenses from other businesses distinct from dispensing marijuana. If a dispensary sells marijuana and is in the separate business of caregiving, the caregiving expenses are deductible. If only 10% of the premises are used to dispense marijuana, most of the rent is deductible. Another idea is for marijuana sellers to operate as non-profit social welfare organizations. That way Section 280E shouldn't apply. The industry needs to operate more like other businesses. Sometimes such matters involve structural questions. To avoid trouble with the IRS, some claim that dispensaries should be organized as cooperatives or collectives. The Marijuana Tax Equity Act would end the federal prohibition on marijuana and allow it to be taxed. The bill would also impose an excise tax on cannabis sales and an annual occupational tax on workers in the growing field of legal marijuana.
Article number 2, MJ Freeway named to 100 brilliant companies listed by Entrepreneur Magazine. Take it away.
MJ Freeway named to 100 brilliant companies listed by Entrepreneur Magazine. Source, itbusinessnet.com. MJ Freeway, the industry-leading cannabis business software platform, is pleased to be included in Entrepreneur Magazine's 2014 list of 100 Brilliant Companies. Every year, Entrepreneur selects an exclusive group of companies that have turned brilliant ideas into brilliant business solutions. The story in the June issues profiles innovative and inspiring companies in a variety of categories ranging from fashion to marketing and new this year, marijuana. MJ Freeway, a seed-to-sale tracking software for marijuana producers, processors, infused product manufacturers and retailers was recognized in the marijuana category. MJ Freeway's enterprise software for the burgeoning marijuana industry tracks every gram from seed to sale. Its modules for growers, processors, and retailers include inventory chain of custody tracking, and are guaranteed to meet every state's compliance requirements. Amy Poinsett, co-founder and CEO, stated, "We are proud that Entrepreneur Magazine has recognized MJ Freeway in their 100 Brilliant Companies list. As the cannabis industry evolves, our role as the provider of the industry's most trusted software solution has become more important than ever. We firmly believe regulation is the way forward and we work hard to ensure our clients have the tools needed to not only report required information to their state, but to run their business efficiently and effectively," Poinsett continued. About MJ Freeway. MJ Freeway is the industry-leading software solution for marijuana businesses, with hundreds of clients in 16 states, the District of Columbia, Canada and Europe. Founded in 2010 by a team of career software and IT professionals, the product suite is designed and built from the ground up specifically for cannabis businesses. MJ Freeway's tracking software includes patent-pending inventory control and grow management applications to streamline workflow and increase efficiency. For more information, call 888-932-6537 or visit www.freeway.com.
Article number 3, Atlanta Entrepreneur Has High Hopes for Medical Marijuana. Take it away.
Atlanta Entrepreneur Has High Hopes for Medical Marijuana. By Phil W. Hudson. Source, Upstart Business Journal. Pot's illegal in Georgia. But that's not stopping Daniel Macris from laying plans to become Atlanta's first dispensary, should the state legalize the drug for medical use. A new Atlanta company hopes to become the city's first medical marijuana company even though pot medicinal or recreational is still illegal in Georgia. If Georgia ever changes its law, Halcyon Organics LLC will manufacture and dispense medical marijuana products to Georgians. If the state of Georgia gave me a legal opportunity, I could provide manufactured non-smokable medical cannabis within a few weeks, said Daniel Macris, CEO of Halcyon Organics, who studied chemical engineering at Georgia Tech. We could have Georgia medically grown cannabis ready for consumption within 4 months. 21 states and Washington, D.C., have legalized medical marijuana, although not Georgia. However, Governor Nathan Deal announced April 10 that Georgia's medical college plans to launch clinical trials that could lead to the legal medicinal use of oil derived from marijuana plants by children with epilepsy. The governor has consulted with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to begin moving toward conducting clinical trials at Georgia Regents University in Augusta. Halcyon is planning to buy land in Georgia to set up greenhouses to grow herbs and produce that it will sell to restaurants until such time that it is legally allowed to grow medical marijuana. We are going to have our facilities built with compliance to the good manufacturing practice and the good laboratory practice, which is what the FDA requires for pharmaceutical-grade botanicals, Macris said. Since we know regulations are going that way toward the legalization of medical marijuana, we want to be ahead of the curve and develop a model other businesses can follow. Joe Salomi, who's helping to finance Halcyon, said the medical marijuana industry is booming and the company is ready for the brand to take on additional investors. There are a lot of people knocking on the door and we want to make sure we have the right partners, Salomi said. Macris said now that they have assembled a team of law-abiding cannabis professionals, they are ready to open the door for new partners. We are about to buy a couple of greenhouses in Colorado because we can't legally set up business here, Macris said. It will allow us to legitimize ourselves and develop a brand. Macris and Salomi recently traveled to Denver for the Cannabis Cup to seek out other strains that are high in cannabidiol, or CBD, one of the most potent constituents of marijuana. The company recently has gained rights to distribute a high CBD strain of marijuana developed specifically for medical use. The strain, called Haley's Hope, was named by Jenia Cox, the mother of the girl who is the namesake of Haley's Hope Act, or Georgia House Bill 885, which was introduced in the state legislature this January. While in Georgia, Cox's daughter was having more than 200 seizures a day and was constantly in the pediatric intensive care unit. The family moved to Colorado in March to begin legal CBD oil treatment. She was on 4 different medicines a day, but when we moved to Colorado and put her on Haley's Hope, it's been amazing. She had her first seizure-free day yesterday, Cox said in an April 22 interview with Atlanta Business Chronicle. I credit all of it to the CBD. The cannabis allowed by HB 885 is low in tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, the chemical in marijuana that causes the high, but has elevated amounts of CBD, which according to many physicians reduces the number and duration of seizures.
Article number 4. Cannabis replaces chocolate in vacant Canadian factory. Take it away.
Cannabis replaces chocolate in vacant Canadian factory. Source, Telegram. Hershey stopped producing chocolate in Smiths Falls, Ontario, 6 years ago. The work went to Mexico, but the factory remains, along with reminders of the glory days, a sign that once directed school buses delivering children for tours. A fading, theme park-style entrance that marks what used to be the big attraction, a chocolate shop that sold about $4 million of broken candy and bulk bars a year. The once ever-present sweet smell of chocolate is gone, too. In the high-ceilinged warehouse, where stacks of Hershey's bars and Reese's peanut butter cups once awaited shipment, the nose now picks up a different odor, the woody, herbal aroma of 50,000 marijuana plants. Clinical, climate-controlled rooms with artificial sunlight house rows upon rows of plants at various stages of growth. In the mother room, horticulturalists use cuttings to start new plants. The flowering rooms are flooded with intense light 12 hours a day to nurture nearly grown plants in strains with vaguely aristocratic names like Argyle, Houndstooth and Tooling. The new owner of this factory, at 1 Hershey Drive, is Tweed Marijuana. It is one of about 20 companies officially licensed to grow medical marijuana in Canada. A court ordered the government to make marijuana available for medicinal purposes in 2000, but the first system for doing so created havoc. The government sold directly to approved consumers, but individuals were also permitted to grow for their own purposes or to turn over their growing to small operations. The free-for-all approach prompted a flood of complaints from police and local governments. So the Canadian government decided to create an extensive, heavily regulated system for growing and selling marijuana. The new rules allow users with prescriptions to buy only from one of the approved, large-scale, profit-seeking producers like Tweed, a move intended to shut down the thousands of informal growing operations scattered across the country. The requirements, which went into effect in April, are giving rise to what many are betting will be a lucrative new industry of legitimate producers. The government, which will collect taxes on the sales, estimates that the business could generate more than $3.1 billion Canadian dollars a year in sales within the next decade. It's just so rare that you have an industry that's growing but which has a huge established market, said Chuck Rifici, Tweed's chief executive. A year ago, if you asked me if I'd be working while looking at thousands of pot plants, I would never have thought that would be the case. Before deciding to focus on the marijuana business, he worked as a financial consultant to technology startup companies in Ottawa, less than an hour's drive to the north. Canada is not unique in transforming once forbidden cannabis into a legal, or at least tolerated, proposition. The Netherlands has long allowed personal possession and cultivation of small quantities while allowing commercial sales through licensed cafes. Spain permits growing for personal use. Portugal has decriminalized possession of small quantities of all drugs. In the United States, 20 states and the District of Columbia have legalized medical marijuana. Both Washington State and Colorado have legalized recreational use with conditions. But marijuana remains illegal under federal law, creating uncertainty. The federal government, for example, recently banned state legal marijuana growers from using federal water on their crops. Canada's across-the-board law, by contrast, provides a cohesive set of regulations, laying the groundwork for a group of companies to set up operations. That was really important for us as investors, said Brendan Kennedy, chief executive of Privateer Holdings, a marijuana private equity fund based in Seattle that started Tiori, one of Canada's new legal growers. People talk about the Colorado model. People talk about the Washington model. I think someday they'll talk about the Canada model. By creating a tightly regulated federal system, by creating a federal license, by making it difficult to navigate and capital-intensive, Canada has attracted a different kind of player into this industry. Why not Smiths Falls? For most of its recent history, Smiths Falls' population 9,000 was defined by two things, the 19th-century canal that passes through its center and the chocolate-scented air. The Hershey plant, which had about 800 employees at its peak, was a vital part of the economy. Until a recent repainting, the town's water tower featured the Hershey's logo and declared Smiths Falls the chocolate capital of Ontario. It was a huge tourist attraction for the town. Dennis W. Staples, the town's mayor, said of the Hershey's factory, which lured about 400,000 visitors a year, "They were without a doubt an excellent corporate citizen. The company sponsored sports teams and hockey tournaments and helped underwrite a chocolate and railway festival each summer. The relationship seemed so fixed, the factory had been there for more than 40 years, that Staples was a bit puzzled in February 2007 when reporters called asking for comment on Hershey's plan to leave town. No one had told Staples. Probably not the best way to communicate to the mayor," he said. Hershey shut down its conveyor belts in 2008. But that was just the beginning of the bad news for Smiths Falls. A year later, the province of Ontario closed a nearby home for up to 2,650 developmentally disabled adults. Stanley Tools, an industrial company, left, as did two other U.S. manufacturers. And a portion of the Canadian Pacific Railway's old transcontinental line, for which Smiths Falls was a regional hub, was ripped up. In all, about 1,700 jobs vanished, according to Staples. At first, Hershey promised to help the town find a new business to take over the plant. A flavored water company expressed interest but couldn't get the money together. In 2012, Hershey sold the plant to a holding company controlled by the Omnicom Group, the ad agency giant. The new owner inquired about demolition permits last summer. Around the same time, Roy Fichy, who lives in Ottawa, showed up in Smiths Falls. Staples and the town council were supportive. They believe the Tweed would help stem, even if just a little, the outflow of jobs and investment. "It's going to happen somewhere in Canada, why not Smiths Falls?" Staples said. "It's an opportunity to be part of an industry that's sanctioned by the federal government," he said. "It's going to create 100 jobs. The mayor also had a personal reason. When his younger brother was dying from colon cancer 11 years ago, marijuana was the only way he found relief from his pain. Despite the warm welcome, Tweed has had to overcome the stigma of a once illicit business." Roy Fichy said the factory owner wouldn't lease the plant to a startup focused on marijuana. So Roy Fichy and his business partner Bruce Linton had to form a small investment pool to buy the plant for an undisclosed amount. Even once in the building, Roy Fichy said it wasn't possible to get a bank loan to buy equipment. Initially, Tweed raised money from private investors. More recently, the company has tapped the public markets for $15 million Canadian by issuing stock. Other licensed marijuana growing operations have faced similar impediments. When Privateer decided to start Tilray, for example, Kennedy crisscrossed Canada to find the right spot. "It was apparent," he said, "that Privateer would hit resistance in many areas. Illegal growing operations had attracted widespread negative publicity for destroying rental houses with mold and creating fire hazards with air lighting systems. In Nanaimo, British Columbia, Kennedy found economic development officials who eagerly courted Tilray. The city was looking for new businesses to offset a gradual decline of the forestry and fishing industries, the region's historical economic base. The officials introduced local zoning bylaws that made it easier for the medical marijuana industry to operate. Tilray has since bought a building for $3.5 million and spent $17 million to renovate it. The company employs 65 people, with plans to increase that number to 100. 100 new jobs in a community of less than 100,000, that's a big deal," Kennedy said. Still, he said it took a while to find a bank that would deal with a marijuana grower. The Royal Bank of Canada eventually agreed to take Tilray's account and to process its credit card transactions. Nor has Tweed won over everyone in Smiths Falls. Like many small, blue-collar towns in rural North America, it has an illegal drug problem, mainly crack cocaine and marijuana. Darlene Cantor, 50, works as a building manager, and she says she is thrilled that Tweed came to town with its jobs and millions of dollars of investment. "But my main concern is it going to make the illegal drugs more rampant?" she said. Some are more skeptical about whether Tweed will be able to provide many jobs. "They were talking about creating jobs and such, and it's not going to do anything," said Andrew Brinkworth, 18, outside the downtown Tim Hortons. "A lot of people here have criminal records, and they're not going to be able to get a job at the plant if they have a record." A 300-page application dressed in a casual shirt and slacks, Roy Fichy, 39, is built from an entrepreneurial mold. His fast speech and seemingly inexhaustible enthusiasm appear to be byproducts of pitching startup ideas to investors, or anyone who will listen, for two decades. His early interest in the internet came from playing simple, text-based games. Slaying virtual dragons with someone from Australia from my computer in my parents' basement in 1991-92 was eye-opening to how the internet would fundamentally alter how we lived, he said. So I had to get involved in some way. In 1995, during his third year of computer engineering studies at the University of Ottawa, he decided to start an internet service provider. He sold the business in 2003 for $1.1 million Canadian, $1 million to a larger competitor, CyberSurf, where he became chief financial officer. Over the next two decades, he helped start a dozen tech companies. His interest in politics indirectly inspired his marijuana business. Raifichi, who volunteers as chief financial officer of the Liberal Party of Canada, one of the three main national parties, closely tracked the evolution of marijuana laws. In October 2012, Health Canada, the federal agency responsible for drug controls, published a long, technical list of proposed reforms. One thing caught his eye: under the new approach, customers could buy only online or through call centers, types of systems that his internet businesses had operated. But his background didn't prepare him for the regulatory strictures of the medical marijuana business. Accustomed to developing startups on the fly with little capital, Raifichi and Linton, another Ottawa entrepreneur who is Tweed's chairman, underestimated the money they would need by a factor of three, largely because of the government's regulatory demands. The application ran 300 pages, not including attachments. And before they could even submit applications, Tweed and other growers had to secure sites for their operations and obtain all local permissions. Applicants who passed the initial vetting then had to pass a final, two-day inspection. The requirements are significant. Growers must have sophisticated carbon filtration systems to prevent the smell of marijuana from wafting outside. They must maintain high security measures like biometric thumbprint readers. Employees need to pass rigorous security checks, conducted by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which take 4 to 6 months. If I knew how much regulatory overhead there would be from the beginning, I would have probably been just as excited about the industry, Raifichi said. But I might have thought that I might not be able to get there. Nothing like a bit of ignorance to allow you to move ahead. The red tape was part of an effort to reform Canada's initial approach to medical marijuana. In court filings, the government suggested that the old system had become little more than a legal veneer for recreational growers, with a significant amount of marijuana making its way to illegal operations. Health Canada said users, on average, grew enough marijuana to roll 54 to 90 cigarettes a day, far beyond what they needed for personal use. There was big, big diversion going on. Brent Zettel, the chief executive of Prairie Plant Systems, the company that grew and distributed the government-supplied marijuana under the old system. The company is now among the newly approved growers. They ducked behind legitimate patients and used them, he said. Trying to convince doctors walking the vast, 425,000-square-foot factory, Raifichi talks animatedly about Tweed next steps. Just behind the new entrance of glass and shiny stainless steel, he has carved out space for a gift shop. He also hopes to lure a craft brewer into the unused portion of the factory. He wants to make One Hershey Drive a destination for tourists again. Tweed is taking a subdued, almost artisanal, approach to its branding, avoiding the Cheech and Chong vibe of some rivals. Many of its marijuana strains are named after fusty fabrics like Tweed, as well as people and places associated with such clothes. The herringbone strain is supposed to help with depression. Baker Street is used to treat anxiety. Donegal is promoted as a pain reliever. But the industry faces an uphill battle, as prominent doctors, researchers and even the Canadian Medical Association are advising against prescribing marijuana at all. Marijuana, they say, has not been through the testing and approval process required for other pharmaceuticals. Dr. Maryam Fitzarles, a rheumatologist and professor of medicine at McGill University in Montreal, was the lead author of a widely publicized paper recommending that, without clinical evidence, marijuana should not be prescribed for rheumatoid arthritis. About 65% of users in Canada under the old system said they suffered from that condition. She compares the medical claims for marijuana to those once made for tobacco. I don't think any physician today would say, "I suggest you take up smoking cigarettes to deal with your anxiety," Fitzarles said. So Tiori, Prairie Plant and Tweed are creating sales teams to persuade doctors to prescribe marijuana. Tweed chief medical advisor, Dr. John Gillis, an emergency room and chronic pain doctor in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, is working to develop best practices for prescribing marijuana. Christopher Murray, who worked with a Canadian agency that evaluates new drugs and medical technology, leads a medical education and outreach group for Tweed. A fine legal line went weed shipped its first two orders directly to customers May 5, about half of the company's management watched, partly for ceremonial reasons but mostly to make sure that its elaborate, government-mandated inventory tracking system worked. Employees weighed the total inventory before doling out the shipments onto smaller scales calibrated to 0.01 gram. The marijuana was dropped into boxes bearing Tweed's logo and then, to meet government requirements, vacuum-packed into odor-blocking bags. Then came a final check on the scales before the two parcels left in standard courier pouches that did not bear Tweed's name. As with many in the new industry, Tweed repeatedly cites a Health Canada forecast suggesting that the user base will grow to more than 400,000 from about 40,000. But some analysts wonder how the industry will reach such levels. Zettel is one of the few players who acknowledges that many buyers will probably be recreational users with sham prescriptions. Like most people in the medical marijuana trade, Raifichi rejected suggestions that the industry was ultimately counting on the introduction of an open, legalized market. But there is such a possibility. Justin Trudeau, the leader of the Liberal Party, has vowed to legalize marijuana if he takes power in elections scheduled for next year, and polls suggest that the idea has widespread support. Raifichi, speaking over the drone of dehumidifiers in the production facility, said that the difference between medical marijuana and non-medical marijuana is one of legislation.
Article number 5. Marijuana food truck makes its Denver debut. Take it away.
Marijuana food truck makes its Denver debut. By Karsten Strauss. Source, Forbes. Lunch at the food truck just got a whole lot more interesting. With its newfound legality in Colorado, cannabis-infused cuisine has made the jump to mobile eateries thanks to an enterprising businessman. Cannabis entrepreneur Garrett Angel has opened his own food truck business in Denver, selling edibles infused with marijuana. The venture is a branch out of his company Magical Butter, a Seattle-based firm that sells a blender hot pot appliance he invented which mixes cannabis with butter, oil or alcohol for cooking. Angel had spent 15 years running his own money management firm in Florida before making the leap to his new enterprise. When Forbes last spoke with him, he reported that Magical Butter was shipping about 4,500 units per month of the $175 device. He has a new appliance model in the works as well, he said. The modified 40-foot Freightliner C2 school bus is known as the Sandwich Truck, according to the company. It stands for Savory Accessible Marijuana-Infused Culinary Happiness. It serves dishes like pulled pork sandwiches, cheese sandwiches and tomato soup and debuted in Denver on April 19 and 20, a holiday, of sorts, for marijuana enthusiasts. The truck has yet to be unleashed on a regular schedule but its arrival may be a harbinger of mobile business to come. Will THC-infused grub trucks become a normal part of the work week for 9-to-5ers on their lunch break? Given the recent relaxation of laws pertaining to cannabis in some states, that reality is not entirely unthinkable. It would certainly make for interesting afternoons for diners.
Alright, that's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week, bye-bye.